السلام عليكم. بالنسبة لإخواننا اللي بيتكلموا اللغة العربية في محاضرة للشيخ علي الحلبي تحت، فالذي يرغب في الحضور فإن شاء الله الشيخ علي عنده محاضرة الآن إلى الساعة الثالثة والنصف، فإن شاء الله المكان قرب المكان التسجيل في مطعم صغير هناك، فنطلب من الإخوان أن ينزلوا تحت ويحضروا المحاضرة. جزاكم الله خير. سيعلن عنه هناك إن شاء الله.
أدلة منهج الصحابة. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، أيها الإخوة، فإن الإسلام دين الله تبارك وتعالى ارتضاه للناس، ونعمته التي أتمها على العباد، فقال سبحانه وتعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. ولكن هذا الإسلام لا يقبله الله تبارك وتعالى إلا على سنة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واتباعه صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، كما قال تبارك وتعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. فلا إسلام إلا بسنة، وقد جعل الله تبارك وتعالى دلائل على اتباع الإسلام والسنة، وأمارات على التزام منهج الله ورسوله، وذلك باتباع منهج وطريق أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أولئك النفر الذين تلقوا الإسلام غدا طريا من نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فما كان يأمرهم به يعملوه، وما كان ينهاهم عنه ينتهوا عنه. فالقرآن يتنزل عليه وهو أعلم بتأويله، فنقلوا لنا هديه وسنته صلى الله عليه وسلم كاملة غير منقوصة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our beloved elder, sheikh and teacher, الشيخ أبو الشيخ أسامة أبو أسامة سليم الهلالي began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending the salah on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and reminding us to fear Allah azza wa jal, and by reciting part of khutbat al-hajah that I'm sure we are all well aware of. He continued by defining our topic and stating that we will be discussing with you some of the proofs that have been established as a way of indicating that it is incumbent upon us to follow the manhaj of the Sahaba. He began by saying, Islam was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only religion and way of life that the Muslim ummah, that mankind, is to adhere to in order to attain success. For it is the completed ni'mah, the completed grace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed mankind with. This is indicated in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where He says, on this day, al-yawm, I have completed this religion and I have perfected it for you and I have completed my favor for you and I have chosen al-Islam as the religion for you to follow. Therefore, it was divinely chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh continued by saying and explaining that Islam is not just what is in the Qur'an. Because as the Qur'an was revealed, it also contained with it that which explained it, which is the Sunnah. Therefore, the Shaykh gives us an important point-blank statement by saying, there is no Islam without Sunnah. I repeat, there is no Islam without Sunnah. For we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to proclaim and say, قُلْ, tell them, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you truly love Allah, meaning if you have accepted what He has offered as Islam, as the true way of life, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me, my example, i.e. my sunnah. This also goes further, because the sunnah was not just given to us, it was witnessed by certain select people who memorized, witnessed, and transmitted to us what was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we will see many proofs and many dala'il, many things that will show the importance of following the manhaj of the messenger, which also means following the manhaj of those who witnessed it from him, his sahaba. For they were the ones who saw him, spoke to him, interacted with him, learned from him, took his orders, learned his prohibitions, did what he said without any disagreements, without any questions asked, accepted it without any restrictions. They were in full control of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with full acceptance. Therefore, the Qur'an was revealed to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His actions, his words, his statements explained it according to the circumstances that the verses were revealed in. All of this was witnessed by the Sahaba and transmitted to you and I perfectly intact in the form that we see it and have it today and until the Day of Judgment.
ولذلك قال الله تبارك وتعالى في سورة النساء ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. هذه الآية من الأدلة القرآنية على وجوب اتباع منهج الصحابة ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ومن يشاقق أي الذي يشاقق النبي يشاقق الرسول من بعد أن يتبين له هدى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولم يقتصر الله تبارك وتعالى في التهديد والوعيد على مشاقة النبي وهي ذنب قائم بذاته، بل أضاف إليها قيدا فقال سبحانه وتعالى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين. وسبيل المؤمنين هو سبيل المؤمنين الذين آمنوا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهم المخاطبون بهذه الآية، وهم الذين أنزل فيهم القرآن، وهم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. لأنه لم يكن يومئذ للمؤمنين جماعة إلا أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فهم المرادون بقول الله تبارك وتعالى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين. لذلك قال العلماء سبيل المؤمنين أي سبيل أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما مصيره الذي يتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين؟ قال الله تبارك وتعالى: نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساعت مصيرا. فإذا كانت سبيل الرسول التي اتبعها المؤمنون والتي سار عليها المتبعون لرسول الله ولأصحابه تؤدي إلى الجنة بفضل الله ورحمته، فسبيل الحيد عن طريق النبي ومنهج الصحابة تؤدي إلى جهنم وساءت مصيرا. وهذه الآية دلالتها واضحة في وجوب اتباع أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الشيخ حفظه الله continued by giving us the first of the proofs that there will be many inshallah to follow, a verse in Surah An-Nisa where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who dispute the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance has been manifest and shown to them and follow a path other than the path of the believer, we shall send them to that which they turn to. We shall let them turn to that which they turn, and their destiny, their eventual end, shall be the fire and an evil abode it is indeed. The Shaykh explains to us this verse by saying, those who dispute, those who argue, those who reject, those who do not accept the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min ba'd, after, meaning after they have realized it is the truth, not before they had doubt, but after they have realized that it is the truth, they had accepted it, or Allah increased, not just the realization of the truth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his orders, or they also follow a path other than the path of the believers. Who are the believers? The Shaykh explains to us what the scholars of Al-Islam have stated. The believers intended in this ayah are the Sahaba, were and are the companions of the Messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the jama'ah. They were the ones who were intended in this verse. Who was there as a community before them? Therefore, to follow a path other than theirs, it is clear misguidance. You shall be given what you turned away to. This will be your reward. And then you will be destined and deemed from the people of the fire. وَسَاءَتْ سَبِيلًا. And indeed, an evil abode it is and it will be. Therefore, the Shaykh infers for us and concludes by saying, since the path of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the path of his Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim equals admittance to Jannah, the opposite, which is following the path other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the path of his Sahaba, equals the fire. And therefore you read it in the ayah. Those who follow other than the path of the Rasul, after they were shown it was guidance and they realized it, and follow a path other than the path of the believers, meaning the Sahaba, we shall let them have what they turn to, and they shall be destined for the fire.
ونستمر في الأدلة التي وردت في كتاب الله والتي تبين صحة منهج الصحابة والتابعين ومن صار على نهجهم ووجوب الاقتداء بهم. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في سورة التوبة: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. هذه الآية واضحة وضوح الشمس في النهار على وجوب السير على منهج أصحاب نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقد ذكرهم الله تبارك وتعالى فقال: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار. وهذه طبقة، ثم ذكر طبقة من بعدهم قال: والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. ولذلك فإن الكلام في هذه الآية على طبقتين، طبقة الأولى طبقة الصحابة، والطبقة الثانية هي طبقة التابعين. وليس المقصود بالسابقين الأولين أولئك الصحابة الذين أسلموا قبل الفتح أو أسلموا في بداية الدعوة الإسلامية، وإنما المقصود بالسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار هم جميع أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن كل صحابي هو سابق لمن جاء بعده، فالصحابة سابقون للتابعين. والعلاقة بين السابقين واللاحقين هي الاتباع والاقتداء، لأن السابقين من أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت علاقتهم برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هي الاتباع. إذن فالاتباع هو العلاقة التي تربط السابق مع اللاحق، أي أن اللاحق يتبع السابق وهلم جرة حتى يصل الاتباع إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي بدوره اتبع ما أوحي إليه من ربه، اتبع ما أوحي إليك من ربك. فهذه علاقة الاتباع التي تنتظم العلاقة بين السابقين وبين اللاحقين، بين السلف وبين الخلف. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. مدح السابقين لسبقهم واتباعهم لرسول الله، ومدح اللاحقين لاتباعهم لأصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال: رضي الله عنهم ورضي الله عنهم. فكان رضوان الله تبارك وتعالى ثمنا لاتباع أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومعلوم أن رضوان الله تبارك وتعالى من أوجب الواجبات على العبد، أي أن على العبد أن يطلب رضوان الله ويبتغي رضوان الله ويسير ليحقق رضوان الله تبارك وتعالى. فإذا كان رضوان الله لا يتحقق إلا باتباع أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فهذا يدل دلالة واضحة على وجوب اتباع أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh continued, Hafidhahullah, with the second proof once again from the Book of Allah in proving the importance of following the manhaj of the Sahaba by reciting from Surah At-Tawbah a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the foremost and the earliest of the Muhajireen and the Ansar and those who follow them in their path, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. This is an important ayah and it is a proof for the importance of following the path and the manhaj, the methodology of the Sahaba. This ayah can be broken in two levels or in two parts. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is earned, first was earned by these early foremost group of people. People have erred in thinking that it signifies those who were the first to accept Islam of the Sahaba. This is a false misconception. Anyone who was from the Sahaba is in this first level. The Muhajireen and the Ansar, they are all the first and foremost. Anyone who was from the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's not just the early converts or reverts to Al-Islam. The second level of this ayah are those who followed them. Those who followed the Sahaba. And this signifies first and foremost the Tabi'een, those who came right after the Sahaba, the companions of the Sahaba, the companions of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore this builds a chain of ittiba', a chain of following one after another. And this chain reaches us also, following from one group, from one generation to the one that has come before it. Who was the first person that was ordered to adhere to something in the Qur'an? It was the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اتَّبِعْ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. You Muhammad, follow what has been sent to you. First, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the first link in the chain. This is how you can view it. Second, came those who lived with him, immediately saw him, interacted with him, the Sahaba. They therefore earned the pleasure of Allah by doing what? By following him. If they were just present with him and didn't follow him, they would not have earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the key word is the ittiba', the following of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Sahaba did. And those who came after them, signifying first and foremost the tabi'een, they also earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the Sahaba who preceded them immediately in the chain to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore the praise and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was earned by the first people, these first group of Muslims in the chain, the Sahaba, the Muhajireen, the Ansar, those who lived with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to their following of his example and his manhaj. And therefore it reaches us consecutively. We will be also from those, if we establish the manhaj of the Sahaba and use it as a proof, as a way of living our life, we will earn the pleasure of Allah and we will be pleased by Him. He will be pleased with us and we will be pleased by what He will give us, insha'Allah ta'ala.
وأيضا من الآيات المباركة التي تدل على هذا يقول الله تبارك وتعالى وعندما يضع الله تبارك وتعالى كلماته في آيات ويضعها في صور ويبين فضائل تلك الصور وأحكام الصور وإنما لحكمة بالغة يعلمها سبحانه وتعالى لقد أودع الله تبارك وتعالى منهج الصحابة في أم الكتاب أي في الفاتحة وبين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذه السورة السبع المثاني والقرآن العظيم لا تصح صلاة العبد أي لا تصح صلة العبد بربه لأن الصلاة صلة للعبد بربه وتوجه للعبد برب لربه هذا هذه الصلة وهذا التوجه لا يصح إلا بقراءة هذه السورة أم الكتاب فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من لم يقرأ بأم الكتاب فلا صلاة له وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من لم يقرأ بأم الكتاب فصلاته خداج ماذا يقول الله تبارك وتعالى فيها اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اهدنا أي وفقنا يا رب لأن الهداية هدى هداية التوفيق ولا توفيق إلا بالله وما توفيقي إلا بالله اهدنا الصراط المستقيم الصراط هو الطريق الواضح البين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم ثم بينه الله صراط من عرف الصراط بسالكيه عرف الصراط بمتبعيه عرف الصراط بأهله فقال صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم ومن هم الذين أنعم الله عليهم هذا ما بينه الله تبارك وتعالى في سورة النساء بأن الله أنعم على الذين أطاعوا الله وأطاعوا رسوله ومن يطع الله ورسوله فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا إذن الذين أنعم الله عليهم أنعم الله عليهم بالاتباع ووفقهم للاقتفاء بسيرة والسنة وهدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما نقله ورثة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين والنبيون خاتمهم وسيدهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والصديقين سيدهم وأفضلهم أبو بكر رضي الله عنه أفضل الأمة بعد النبيين والشهداء سيدهم عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه الذي كان يدعو بأن يرزقه الله شهادة في مسجد رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والصالحون بقية أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذن صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم أي صراط محمد وأصحاب محمد. ولذلك قال شيخ المفسرين ابن جرير الطبري رحمه الله في كتابه جامع البيان مفسرا هذه الآية: الصراط المستقيم أي محمد وأصحابه صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عن أصحابه أجمعين.
The Sheikh continues with a third and important proof by saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks to us in the Quran, the word placement, the ayat placement, the surah placement, all carry important meanings. And this can be signified greatly, shown explicitly, in Surah Al-Fatiha, the first and most and of the most noble surahs of the Quran, that which the salah of an individual is invalid without. This important surah that contains the seven verses, that contains the essence of Al-Islam in it, if a person does not use it in salah, his salah is invalid according to the different ahadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us look at the word placement of this surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our connection with Him in salah, for if you do not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, you have not established the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the silah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your salah. Therefore your salah is void, invalid. This is the reason why your salah is not accepted. In Surah Al-Fatiha, all of us recite this part of a dua in our salah by saying, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. O Allah, guide us to the straight, clear path, to the path. This path, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the path of those whom you have shown grace. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, not the path of those whom you were angered with or those whom you have allowed to be misguided. The Shaykh says, let us look at this verse. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The sirat is the path, the way of life that we will live. This is what we are asking Allah to guide us with, so that we will live a clean life in order to attain success. How do we know where the path is? It is found in the verse that is next to it. How do you know what the path is? It is the path, O Allah, that we ask you of those whom you have shown grace. Therefore you ask yourself, whom are the people? Who are the people that Allah showed ni'mah, grace to? You will find an ayah in Surah An-Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ones who obey Allah and His Messenger, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, they are the ones that Allah has shown grace. From them, النبيين, the prophets, والصديقين, those who accepted the truth and authenticated it, والشهداء, the martyrs, والصالحين, and those who worked righteous deeds. These are the ones whom Allah has shown what? Grace. These are the ones intended. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the path of these four groups. The Shaykh explains to us this verse, as has been explained by many of the scholars of tafsir, by saying, who is النبيين? Who is the greatest prophet? Muhammad. Who is الصديق? Abu Bakr. Who is the shaheed who was martyred in the masjid of Rasulullah? Umar. Who are the صالحين? The rest of the Sahaba. Therefore, in your salah, In the Fatiha, your recitation, you are saying, O Allah, guide me to the path of whom you have of those whom you have shown grace, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, and the rest of the Sahaba. And this is the tafsir that many of the Mufassireen have gave, especially Ibn Jarir, where he says, in explaining Surah Al-Fatiha, in explaining this verse, he said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطِ الصِّرَاطِ أي it is Muhammad wa ashabih sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. So this is a standing that we must take whenever we are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in our salah or other. We are actually asking Allah to guide us to the sunnah, to guide us to Muhammad, to guide us to the example of Abu Bakr, Umar, and the rest of his companions. And the rest of the companions of Rasulullah.
ومما يؤكد هذا الذي ذهب إليه ابن جرير الطبري في تفسير هذه الآية أن كلمة الصراط وردت في كتاب الله على ثلاث إضافات فأضافها الله إلى نفسه وأضافها إلى رسوله وأضافها إلى أصحاب رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما أضافها هذه الكلمة إلى نفسه أي إلى الرب تبارك وتعالى وأضاف الصراط إلى رسول الله وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم أضافه وبين أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدل على الصراط المستقيم صراط الله ثم أضافه إلى أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذن لا يكون العبد على الصراط المستقيم إلا إذا اتبع صراط الله وهو الكتاب الكريم القرآن المجيد واتبع الصراط المستقيم سنة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وفهمها بفهم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذه دلائل من القرآن تدل على وجوب اتباع الصحابة ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين.
The Sheikh continued explaining this verse that we were citing to you from Surah Al-Fatiha by saying the word As-Sirat was used in the Quran in one of three ways. Either it was added to Allah, meant as Allah's path, or it was added to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, signifying the Messenger's path, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it was added to the Sahaba, meaning the path of the Sahaba. The first type, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, He says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. And surely this is my path, straight indeed it is to me. The path of Allah. This is the first type of usage. Indicating sirat is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second is how it was used in conjunction with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, and you guide wa innaka latahdi ila sirat al-mustaqim. And you, O Muhammad, you guide to the straight path. Therefore, an addition to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And third and finally, the ayah that we recited from Surah Al-Fatiha, As-Sirat, as a way of understanding it from the perspective of the Sahaba. Therefore, the three levels of manhaj. The path to Allah, the Qur'an. The path through the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Sunnah. And third, it is understanding the Qur'an and the Sunnah upon what the Sahaba were taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, learning the Qur'an and the Sunnah and implementing and understanding it in the same manner that the Sahaba learned it and understood it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وأما إذا انتقلنا إلى السنة المطهرة فهي مليئة بالأدلة التي تدل وتحض على التقيد بفهم الصحابة الكرام والتابعين الأخيار. ومن ذلك أيضا نذكر ثلاثة أدلة. الدليل الأول قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث المتواتر: خير الناس قرني، وفي رواية: خير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم ثم يفشو الكذب. هذا الحديث قد ثبت عن جمع من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولذلك قال أهل العلم بحديث النبي إنه حديث متواتر عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما صرح الحافظ ابن حجر رحمه الله في مقدمة كتابه الإصابة. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خير الناس قرني، خير أمتي قرني، أي أن خير الناس وخير قرون هذه الأمة هو قرن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فمن كان في قرن الرسول هم أصحابه صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عنهم. أصحاب الرسول رضي الله عنهم كانوا مع النبي، فهم خير الناس وهم خير القرون وهم خير الأمة. فما هو مقياس الخيرية في دين الله؟ هل الخيرية للمال؟ هل الخيرية للأجسام؟ هل الخيرية للأحساب والأنساب؟ هل الخيرية للصور؟ هل الخيرية للمساكن والأثاث والتجارات؟ لا، إنما الخيرية في دين الله خيرية العلم والعمل والفهم التي تتحقق بها التقوى. يقول الله: إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. ويقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله لا ينظر إلى صوركم وأجسامكم، ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. إذن محل نظر الله في العبد هو قلبه وعمله الذي يثمر التقوى فيكون كريما عند الله تبارك وتعالى. ولذلك لما سئل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عن خير الناس فقال: أتقاهم. أتقى الناس هو خير الناس، فإذا كان خير الناس هم أصحاب محمد فهم أتقى الأمة. وإذا كانت التقوى لا تتحقق إلا بالعلم وإلا بالفهم وإلا بصحة العمل، إذن فأصحاب رسول الله أعمق هذه الأمة فهما وأبرها قلوبا وأزكاها عملا. فإذا كانوا كذلك فيجب على من جاء بعدهم أن يتبعهم، لأن من جاء بعدهم وأراد أن يكون من المتقين فلا بد أن يأتم بهم، لأن عباد الرحمن يقولون ويدعون الله: ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. إذن فكل تقي لا بد أن يأتم بهم، ولا بد لا يكون إماما للمتقين من لا يتقي بسيد المتقين وأصحابه الغر الميامين رضي الله عنهم. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد صلاة دائمة.
The Sheikh began our second part of the lecture by now discussing some of the relevant ahadith after discussing a few verses, three verses, and explaining them to us, and using them as proofs of establishing the manhaj of the Sahaba as the way to live our lives according to, he will now give us equally three ahadith from the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first hadith is a hadith that is mutawatir, meaning it has been recorded and narrated in such multitude on all of the different levels of chain that there is no way the people came together to conspire it and all use the same wording. It's just impossible. So therefore this word mutawatir means it's been narrated in so many, by so many people in all of the levels of the chain of narration that there is absolutely no doubt that this hadith is authentic. The Prophet ﷺ says, the best of people, and in another narration, the best of my ummah are my generation. Then those who follow them, or those who come next. Then those who will follow them, or those who will come next. And then he said, then after them there will be lies in multitude. Lies, fabrications that will come in multitude. Ibn Hajar explained that this hadith is mutawatir in his book Al-Isaba in the introduction to Al-Muqaddimah. Therefore, we ask ourselves, who were those that were living in the generation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? This is the shahid, this is the point of importance. They are the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were the best of people, the best of generation, and the best of the ummah. The best people created at this time, the best of generations, and the best of the ummah. They are the best that will ever be of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Three levels. Why? Because they were the best in also three things. In ilm, in amal, and in fahm. In divine, sacred knowledge, that is the knowledge of al-Islam, in implementing what they know, ilm wa amal, and in the fahm, in understanding what was intended by the knowledge that they were handed by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were the best of people, the best of generation, the best of ummah, because they contained the best ilm, the best amal, and the best fahm. They were the best of us because they were the most fearing of Allah. Atqakum, the most fearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the best of you in the sight of Allah is the one who has the most taqwa, the most God consciousness, the most fear, piousness, the most pious of you in the relationship with Allah. Also the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the Quran, in the Sunnah, Allah does not look to your body. He will not look and judge you according to how you look. But what He will look at and judge you according to is your, what is in your heart and in your actions. إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Your heart, not just your intention, but also your action. Because some people intend to do good, yet their actions are not what is praiseworthy. What is in your heart and what is in your actions. Also we see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who is the best of people? He said, أَتْقَاهُمْ, the one who is most God-fearing out of them. So therefore, taqwa, it must contain ilm, amal, and fahm. Knowledge, action, understanding what was intended in the knowledge. And this was all contained in the actions, ilm, and worship, and intentions, and fahm of the Sahaba. They were the ones who contained all of these characteristics. Therefore, we must follow the leaders. They are the prime example. They are the top, the cream of the crop. Would you follow someone who is beneath them or look to the top? They are the ultimate. So you will follow their example and use it as a way of life for yourself. And this is what is intended in your dua, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Furqan that the people who are ibadur rahman, the servants of the most beneficent, the merciful Allah, Allah lists their characteristics. From their characteristics, how you know you are a worshipper of Allah and you are a abd, a slave of Him, is that you ask Allah making this dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Allah, grant us
وسلم, ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. ذكر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الافتراق والاختلاف، وبين أن فرق الأمة كلها في النار، أي وعيد من الله أن تدخل النار، وأحاديث الوعيد عند أهل السنة تحت المشيئة ولا تستلزم التكفير. أحاديث الوعيد ودخول جهنم لا تستلزم التكفير، إنما الذي يستلزم التكفير هو الخلود في جهنم عياذا بالله. ولكن فرقة واحدة تنجو وتفوز عند الله، ولذلك سميت بالفرقة الناجية. فقال الصحابة: من هي يا رسول الله؟ أي يريدون أن يتعرفوا على خصائص وعلى ميزات وعلى أمارات هذه الفرقة الناجية التي تنجو عند الله. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي، أي الفرقة التي تتمسك بما أنا عليه. والرسول على ماذا؟ على القرآن والسنة. الرسول على القرآن والسنة. ما أنا عليه؟ الرسول على القرآن والسنة. تركت فيكم أمرين لن تضلوا ما إن تمسكتم بهما، كتاب الله وسنتي. ثم أضاف إلى نفسه صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه. لماذا؟ ليقول لمن جاء بعده وبعد أصحابه أنكم لا تكونون على ما أنا عليه، على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله، إلا إذا تمسكتم بما كان عليه أصحابي، إلا إذا خسرتم على نهجهم، إلا إذا وقفتم على سبيلهم، إلا إذا اقتديتم بهما. لذلك كان يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي، أبي بكر وعمر، اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي أبي بكر وعمر. إذن الذي ينجو عند الله هو من ما كان أو من تمسك بما كان عليه رسول الله وأصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The second hadith is where the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the Jews disagreed and disputed one another and disbanded into 71 groups or sects. And the Christians disbanded after disagreeing with one another into 72 groups or sects. And my ummah shall disband and disagree with one another, and they shall disband on 73 sects. All of them are in the fire, except one. The Sahaba asked, who is this one group, O Messenger of Allah? What are their characteristics? He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they are those who are on what I and my companions are on today. They are those who follow what I and my companions are on now. Let us take this hadith and look at it. First, the important point, so that no one is confused. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes wa'id, assigns a punishment, a promise of punishment, to a group of Muslims or to people who have believed in Allah and His Messenger, it does not signify that they have left Islam or they are now kuffar. What it does signify is that they will be under the Mashi'ah. These 72 groups, there are 73, one is in the Jannah. The other 72, they are under the Mashi'ah of Allah, the will of Allah. If Allah wills to forgive them without punishing them first, before admitting them to the Jannah, He may forgive them. If Allah wishes to punish them and to cleanse them and then allow them to enter into Jannah, He will do so. It is the Mashi'ah of Allah, the will and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This does not mean that these 72 sects have left Islam. or that they will never enter paradise. This is not the understanding that Ahlul Hadith have stated about this hadith. After clarifying this, we now look to who is this one group. The scholars of hadith have named this group Al-Firqa Al-Najiyah, the saved sect, the saved group, the saved party. They are those who will enter paradise without worry, without worrying that they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beforehand. What are their example or what are their characteristics? What I and my companions are on. Let us look at the first part. What I, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is on. Meaning the Qur'an and the Sunnah. This is his example sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what he left, what he bequeathed to us. The Qur'an and the Sunnah. As he says in a hadith, I have left behind, or I will leave behind two things. That which if you hold on to, you will not be misguided. My book, the book of Allah, and my Sunnah. There will be no misguidance if we hold on to this. But he continues in the hadith and says, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي, and what my companions are on. This signifies the importance of following the example of the Sahaba. As he also says in another hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow, اتبعوا, the two who will come after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. Their orders, their prohibitions are equally binding as the orders and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, the hadith signifies following the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first part, and what my companions are on signifies meaning follow the Sahaba, follow what they have learned from me, follow their orders, follow their example, for they were taught by me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, we should follow the example that was given to us by the Messenger and transmitted to us by the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhi.
وبهذا يتبين يا أخوتي أن الناظر في كتاب الله والناظر في سنة رسول الله يجد الدلائل الكثيرة على وجوب فهم الكتاب والسنة بفهم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولذلك تناقل السلف الصالح هذا الفهم جيلا فجيلا. فهم الصحابة هذا الفهم, وفهم التابعون هذا الفهم, وفهم العلماء الربانيون هذا الفهم. فهموا أنه لا سبيل إلى فهم الكتاب والسنة إلا بفهم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبهذا القدر أقتصر, وإن كان الوقت فيه فسحة لأترك المجال للأسئلة والإجابة عليها, فإن السؤال نصف العلم.
The Sheikh in his concluding statements, he says, therefore we have established the importance of following the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and understanding them according to the example set and given to us by the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim, as a way and as a manhaj that we live our lives according to. This manhaj was passed from generation to generation, beginning from the Sahaba, bequest and given to the Tabi'een, and then those who followed their example after them. And it will continue to do so until the day of judgment. This example will be passed on one generation to another through those who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, godly scholars, الربانيين, those who are in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do with what they know and teach it to others. The scholars of Al-Islam who follow this example will carry this ilm generation after generation until the day of judgment. And it began the link of the chain with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sahaba, his tabi'een, tabi'i tabi'een, and it has reached us in the form of our blessed scholars who may be sitting with us today, teaching us the sunnah of the sahaba, the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and understanding it in the example of the sahaba. The Shaykh emphasizes, there is no understanding of Islam without the understanding of the sahaba. There is no understanding of Islam without the understanding of the Sahaba. He says, I conclude a little bit early. So that I give you ample time to ask questions in written form, inshaAllah. So I give you ample time to ask questions so that I will have ample time to answer them for you. He concludes by saying an important point. Asking a question is half of knowledge. Asking questions is half of knowledge. This is how you will learn. So inshaAllah, if you have any questions, please send them forward so that we will ask the Sheikh the questions. Try to keep them relevant to the topic, inshaAllah ta'ala. A quick announcement while you are writing your questions. They write, please announce that lunch will be served in the cafeteria downstairs from 3:30 to 4:30, inshaAllah. Not from 3:15, from 3:30 to 4:30. InshaAllah. Everyone claims to be on the sunnah. What is the greatest proof of knowing that someone is on the haqq?
ليس الحقيقة بالدعاوى. وليس الدعاوى تقبل دون البينة، وكما قال الشاعر: والدعاوى إن لم تقيموا عليها بينات أصحابها أدعياء. ففرق بين الدعوى التي تقوم على بينة، تقوم على حجة، تقوم على دليل، وبين دعوى لا تقوم على قوائم. ولذلك فكل دعوة ينبغي أن يكون لها دليل. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين. فالصادق هو الذي يقيم على دعواه دليلا. ولذلك لا تقبل الدعاوى من أصحابها بدون بينة. وقد سمعتم الأدلة البينة والشواهد القوية من كلام الله وكلام رسول الله على أن هذه الدعوة السلفية المباركة، أعني اتباع أصحاب نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، تستمد قوتها من الحق المبين، من كلام الله ومن كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فأي دعوة لا تقوم على ثلاثة أركان هي دعوة باطلة، دعوة زائفة. الركن الأول كتاب الله، الركن الثاني صحيح سنة رسول الله، الركن الثالث فهم الكتاب والسنة بفهم أصحاب نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذه هي الدعوة الصحيحة، هذا هو الحق المبين الذي لا ريب فيه. وأما أي دعوة لا تقوم على كتاب الله وعلى الصحيح من سنة رسول الله وعلى الصريح من فهم أصحاب رسول الله فهي دعوة مردودة، دعوة باطلة. وإن ادعى أصحابها أنهم على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying, truth is not taken by a claim, not because a person claims something that necessitates that it is truth. And a claim cannot be accepted without proof. Truth is not taken by someone claiming it, and the claim cannot be accepted without proof. Therefore, you have to prove that you are on the truth. And as has been stated in poetry and in other places, a claim without proof is just words, it's just a claim. invalid, holds no substance. It is just something that is being said. Therefore, we state, claim with proof is different than a claim without proof. There are two different types of claims. A claim that you can back up in your action, show that you are on the truth, and a claim by someone who is just saying something, doing something, although his own actions, his own beliefs, are not the actions and the beliefs of those who are on the truth. So therefore you must show your proof. You must show it in your actions and in your words. And this is what we have done today, or what we were attempting to do and show you today. That the call to the Salaf, the call to the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, it is substantiated. There is proof. And the proof is of the strongest kind. The Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We put forth a claim and we showed the proof. And not just any proof, the proof that is of the strongest kind. The word of Allah, the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Any claim in matters of religion must fulfill these three requirements. Each of them, individually and collectively. It must be substantiated from the Book of Allah and from the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it must be in according to the fahm, the understanding of those who accepted the Qur'an and the Sunnah from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly, meaning the Sahaba. This is how we accept the claim of anyone when it is a claim in religion. Show it in your actions in accordance to the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger, and show that it is from the divine understanding that was given to the Sahaba as a way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that has been passed on to us. So therefore this is how we understand the claim. When a person is corrected about a sunnah, under what conditions should he ask for proof?
إذا أخبرت بأن هذا الأمر سنة فهذا دليل على أن هذا الأمر سنة، ولكن لك أن تتوثق هل هذه السنة صحيحة أم غير صحيحة، لأن الأحاديث دخل فيها ما ليس منها. ففي الأحاديث هناك أحاديث ضعيفة، هناك أحاديث موضوعة، هناك أحاديث لا أصل لها. فإذا ثبتت هذه السنة بقول علماء الحديث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيجب المصير إليها ويجب العمل بها ولا تنتظر غير الخبر بها، لأن حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حج بنفسه، حج على غيره، لا يحتاج إلى أمر خارج عنه. فمن بلغته سنة رسول الله لا مناص له إلا أن يعمل بها. وليفرض الإنسان نفسه بين يدي رسول الله وسمع الأمر أو النهي من رسول الله، أيسع العبد ألا يقول أن يقول له أو أن يتوانى أو أن يؤجل أو أن يسوف أو أن يضرب لسنة رسول الله الأمثال؟ كلا والله، فإن المؤمن الذي رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سمع عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديثا صحيحا سارع إلى العمل به وإلى تلبيته، تطبيقا لقول الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم، لأنه يعلم أن حياة قلبه في الاستجابة إلى رسول الله، وأن هدايته في طاعة الله، وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا، وما على الرسول إلا البلاغ المبين، ولا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. فينبغي للعبد ألا يقدم قولا أو رأيا أو مصلحة أو اجتهادا على كلام الله أو كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh answers the question in regards to the Sunnah by saying, if something is stated to you as being Sunnah and you had no knowledge of this beforehand, you should accept it in beginning. Accept it. And then you should verify it. For there are many things that have crept into al-Islam through weak, fabricated, batil, unauthentic hadith. Therefore, you accept and then you must verify its authenticity. Once it has been shown that it is an authentic narration, it is an authentic action, it is an authentic supplication, whatever it may be, it becomes something that is wajib for you to do as much as you have the ability in. It becomes a hujjah in itself. The words and the actions of the Prophet ﷺ, his sunnah, in itself, by itself, without any other text or proof, it is hujjah. It is a proof by itself. Therefore, it is something that makes it incumbent upon you to do and to follow. And always place yourself in the presence of Rasulullah ﷺ. Whenever you're confronted with the sunnah, pretend that you are at the time of the Rasul ﷺ, or the Rasul is with you now. And try to show yourself what you would do if he was standing in front of you and he himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked you to do this sunnah. Would you reject it? Would you delay it? Would you say at a later date? Or would you accept it as being from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something that is intended for you to bring you closer to Allah, azza wa jal. Follow what Allah has told you in the Quran. Accept, استجيبوا لله وللرسول. Accept it blindly from Allah and His Messenger. Accept what has come to you from Allah and His Messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and if they follow you, meaning Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yahtadu, they will be guided to the true path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Do not be forward in front of Allah or His Messenger. Do not put forth something that is before Allah or His Messenger, that which is not originally there. Meaning, do not add and also do not detract. Do not reject that which may have been placed. The next question, inshaAllah, it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You said the 72 sects are under the mashi'a of Allah. Is the saved sect still under the mashi'a of Allah?
يجب أن نفرق بين أحاديث وآيات الوعد وأحاديث وآيات الوعيد. الوعد منجز، أي أن الله تبارك وتعالى إذا أوعد لا يخلف وعده، إذا وعد لا يخلف وعده، وإذا أوعد فهو بالخيار، إن شاء عذب وإن شاء غفر. وهذا مأخوذ من قول الله تبارك وتعالى، إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، كل أمر دون الشرك فهو تحت مشيئة الله. الفرقة الناجية ليست في الوعيد الله، وإنما هي في وعد الله، ولذلك ما وعدها الله به فهو منجزها لا ريب فيه. وإنما الفرق الباقية هي في وعيد الله، لذلك قلنا هي تحت المشيئة. فينبغي أن نفرق بين الوعد وبين الوعيد.
The Sheikh explains by saying there are two separate words, وعد and وعيد. وعد is a covenant, it is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never broken. The second is the wa'id. It is a promise of warning. It is a warning that is in the example of a promise, meaning that if you do this, you are promised something. This is what is under Mashi'ah. As for the promise of Allah, there is no discrepancy. It is either you will be given it or you won't. You are either promised or you have not. As for the warning of Allah, if you do it, it is under the Mashi'ah of Allah. You may either be punished or you may be forgiven. The saved sect, Al-Firqa Najiyah, are promised by Allah. Therefore, the promise that Allah has given them shall not be broken. They are promised to enter Jannah without being from those who will be facing any of the torments of the fire or being from those who are under the Mashi'ah. They are promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be saved. Therefore, this promise shall not be broken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When speaking of the sunnah, is it true that there are sunnah that are wajib and sunnah that are mustahab? If so, then how can we distinguish the two based on your on the text?
No. السنة تطلق على معنيين في كلام الله وكلام رسوله. السنة تطلق على معنى عام تعني المنهج والشريعة والطريق، وهذا الذي نريد به من كلامنا عن السنة عندما نتكلم في الأمور المنهجية. لا نقول لا إسلام إلا بسنة، أي لا إسلام إلا بطريق محمد وأصحاب محمد. سنة المقصود بها طريقة ومنهج وسبيل المؤمنين، وهذا كما جاء في قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أي من رغب عن شريعتي ومنهجي وطريقي. وكما جاء في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، أي بمنهجي وبسبيلي ومنهج أصحابي وسبيلي. وأما السنة من الناحية الأصولية، أي في أصول الفقه، فهي ما ثبت عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من قوله أو فعله أو تقريره. وهذا المعنى الأصولي للسنة يتضمن الأحكام التكليفية الخمسة: الواجب والحرام والمندوب والمكروه والمباح. إذن في السنة التكليفية، السنة اللي من معنى الأصولي، فيها واجب وفيها مستحب، فيها حرام وفيها مكروه وفيها مباح. كما أن في القرآن الأحكام التكليفية الخمسة، كذلك في السنة من حيث الأصول الأحكام التكليفية الخمسة. وكما نعرف الواجب في القرآن، نعرف الواجب في السنة. كما نعرف المستحب من القرآن، نعرف المستحب من السنة. كما نعرف الحرام، نعرف الحرام في السنة. وهذا ينبغي أن يرجع فيه الإنسان إلى ما قرره علماء الأصول.
The Sheikh explained the word as-sunnah by saying sunnah is intended to mean one of two things. It's of two types. And this is an important question. It is something that must be clarified. Sunnah is of two types. The sunnah that we are discussing with you now, when we discuss manhaj, it is the sunnah that implies sharia, implies Islam, the tenets, the principles of al-Islam, belief in Allah, accepting the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not implying, we will get to that in the next half. The sunnah that we are discussing with you is sunnah in regards to manhaj, sharia. This is what is implied. What we are talking about is when we say, without sunnah there is no Islam, it means without acceptance of the Prophet ﷺ's manhaj, his way of life, his teachings, what he wished for us to do in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no Islam. And this is what is intended by the hadith of the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ, where he says, whoever abandons my sunnah, he is not from me. Meaning whoever abandons my way, my manhaj, my tashri'ah, my legislations, my orders, my prohibitions, he is not from me. Therefore the word sunnah, what we are talking about, means manhaj, means sharia. This is what means the path, the sirat. The second type of sunnah is the sunnah that the ulama of al-usul discuss, the principles. And this sunnah has five levels. The same five levels that can be discussed in regards to the Qur'an. Sunnah can either be wajib, haram, mustahab or mandub, or it can be makruh or mubah. It can be wajib, compulsory. It can be haram, prohibited. It can be mustahab or mandub, something asked for, something you are wished, asked to do. Something that is makruh, something that you are asked to leave off. Or just mubah, something that is permitted, without being asked or without being ordered to leave or abstain. Just the same five levels are also found in the Qur'an. There are certain things in the Qur'an that are wajib, you must do. Certain things that are in the Qur'an that are mustahab. Certain things that are haram. So therefore the same five levels are discussed also in the sunnah in the perspective of the words of the people of usul. There is a great difference. When we discuss sunnah, we are talking about the manhaj, the path, the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the extra actions or the extra worship or the things that the ulama of al-usul have discussed. How should you treat a person who follows the path of the Sahaba in Aqidah and in Manhaj, alhamdulillah, but falls into major sins? And what should a person do who is in that state?
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. بالنسبة لمن كان على منهج ومعتقد سليم واجتنب ووقع في الكبائر، فهذا أيضا ينبغي على المسلمين أولا أن ينصحوا له وأن يستروا عليه وأن يذكروه دائما بالله وبرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن هذا وقع في الشهوة ونجا من الشبهة. ولقد كان رجلا يضحك رسول الله، يسمى حمارا، فكان يؤتى به إلى رسول الله فيجلده من شرب الخمر، فجيء به مرة فقال رجل لعنه الله ما أكثر ما يؤتى به إلى رسول الله ليجلد. هذا وقع في كبيرة من الكبائر، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تلعنه فإنه يحب الله ورسوله. مع اتيانه من الكبائر، كبائر الذنوب، نهى النبي عن لعنه لأنه يحب الله ويحب رسوله، أي عقيدته ومنهجه سليم. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جعلت شفاعتي لأهل الكبائر من أمتي. ولذلك صاحب التوحيد، صاحب السنة، يدخل الجنة بإذن الله وإن سرق وإن زنى، كما قال جبريل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال أتاني جبريل فقال من مات لا لا يشرك بالله شيئا دخل الجنة. فقال أبو ذر رضي الله عنه للرسول: وإن سرق وإن زنى؟ قال النبي: وإن سرق وإن زنى. فأعاد أبو ذر ثلاثا وأعاد النبي ثلاثا حتى قال الرسول: رغم أنف أبي ذر. ولكن تصوروا في الصورة المقابلة، رجل كان عابدا وكان يكثر الصلاة وكان ناتئ الجبين من كثرة السجود، حتى أن صلاته وصيامه وقراءة القرآن كانت من أكثر من قراءة الصحابة، وهو ذو الخويصر التميمي أصل الخوارج قاتلهم الله. كان صاحب عبادة وصاحب زهد، لكنه كان صاحب شبهة وداعي إلى ضلالة. جاء إلى النبي وهو يقسم غنائم حنين، فاعترض على قسمة النبي وطعن في عدل النبي، فقال: ما هذه قسمة يراد بها وجه الله؟ اعدل يا محمد. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ويحك، من يعدل إذا لم أعدل؟ إني أعلمكم بالله وأتقاكم له. ثم قال لأصحابه: يخرج من ضئضئ هذا، أي من نسله وذريته وعقبه، قوم تحقرون صلاتكم مع صلاتهم وصيامكم مع صيامهم، يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز حناجرهم، يمرقون من الإسلام كما يمرق السهم من الرمية، لئن أدركتهم لأقتلنهم قتل عاد. فهؤلاء مع عبادتهم وزهدهم وقراءتهم وصلاتهم أمر الرسول بطردهم وبقتالهم وبزجرهم. إذن صاحب الكبيرة وإن كان من أهل السنة فهذا ينصح ويستر عليه، إلا إذا جاهر بمعصيته، إلا إذا جاهر بمعصيته. وأما صاحب البدعة وإن كان صاحب عبادة وصاحب زهد فهو يفضح ويحذر منه. ولذلك قال السلف رضي الله عنهم: البدعة أحب إلى إبليس من المعصية. البدعة أحب إلى إبليس من المعصية، لأن البدعة أن المعصية يتاب منها والبدعة لا يتاب منها. والله أعلى وأعلى.
That was the final question, inshallah. Here is the answer to it before we break for lunch. The question was in regards to a person who is on the correct path and aqidah and manhaj, and he is struggling, but he constantly falls into major sin. What is the obligation of those who are around him that see him err? The Shaykh says, the person who falls into sin, if he is on the correct manhaj, we must constantly give him nasiha. Guard his secret. Guard the sin that he falls into, and constantly remind him of Allah Azza wa Jalla. For such a person has escaped one of the two fitnas. A person in this life is given two tests: fitna of shubuhat, doubts and misconceptions about Allah and not believing in Allah, and fitna of desires. This person has escaped the fitna of doubt, doubting Allah. He has accepted Allah in the manhaj of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he is lacking is escaping the fitna of desires. So therefore he must be constantly reminded. And this is something that we see in the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man who used to please the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and used to make him laugh, but he was a man who was known to be a drunk. He would constantly consume alcohol, and many a times he would be brought forth in front of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be given the 40 lashes as the had, as the punishment that was due for this sin. And one day a sahabi witnessed the man being brought once again in front of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be struck his lashes,
And this Sahabi cursed him by saying, "Cursed is this man who is constantly brought to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be beaten for being drunk." The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Do not curse him, for I know he loves Allah and his Messenger." Meaning, he has aqidah, he has manhaj. Do not curse him, for he is better than other people, but he is falling into this sin, and he will, inshaAllah, be given its punishment. The second example, and we also see the Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith that his shafa'ah is dedicated firstly for those who fall into the major sins. In another hadith, we see the hadith of Jibreel that the Prophet ﷺ, in one of the hadith where Jibreel came to the Messenger and informed him sallallahu alayhi wasallam that even the one who steals and commits fornication or adultery shall enter paradise if he does not disbelieve in Allah and take partners with him. Abi Dharr, the Sahabi, said, even if he steals and even if he commits zina, the Messenger said, yes, even if he steals, even if he commits zina. And this continued for 3 times, Abi Dharr would ask. Then finally the Messenger put an end to it and said, whether Abi Dharr likes it or not, by the nose of Abi Dharr he will be given and admitted to paradise, whether you like it or not. The Shaykh gives us the other type of example. A person who fasts, who prays, who does everything right, yet he falls into the lack of manhaj. And this is the example of a person whom the Khawarij came as a lineage from. This man, the Prophet ﷺ, as we see in the hadith, he was described as a person who prayed the most, fasted the most, was the most pious even more than many of the Sahaba. Yet on the day of Hunayn, on the battle of Hunayn, he came to the Prophet ﷺ as the Prophet was distributing the war spoils, the spoils of war. He said, "Ya Muhammad, be just. You are not dividing the spoils of war justly." Accusing the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ. And the Messenger rebuked him by saying, "I am the most just of people. Who can be more just than me? Verily I am the most God-fearing of you and the most close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And then the Prophet ﷺ said to his Sahaba that from the lineage of this man will come a people that you will see their worships are better than your worship. Their salah is better than your salah. You will think by looking at them. Their siyam is more than your siyam. Yet when they recite the Quran, it will not pass their throat. If I live to meet them, I will fight them. Because they are from the Khawarij, those who act and take from the manners of Islam and the worship, yet their belief is corrupted. Do not truly believe in Allah and His Messenger. So therefore, as for this person who falls into the major sin, we call him, we remind him, we guard his secret, as long as he does not become open with it. If he becomes open and shows it to everyone, he is falling into this sin, being unabashed and insensitive and acting according to it in front of everyone, then we prohibit him and then we admonish him and warn people against him. Otherwise, we guard his secret, remind him of Allah and of His Messenger, and this is an important point for us to comprehend, inshaAllah ta'ala. So I think the brother will have a few words before we break for lunch and for Salatul Asr.